Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tribal Wisdom Radio, your marriage support network. Tune in for all things love, marriage, and family. We are devoted to love. Here we go.
Here we go indeed. Welcome to another Wedding Wednesday with Tribal Wisdom. I'm your host, Cynthia Williamson. I am always so happy to spend another hour with you, my listeners, and my friends. Tonight is a special recording of Get Fired Up for Marriage. We will be talking with the founder and creator, culinary consultant, Kathy Ha, who created Tutorial to Table as a response to friends who wanted to cook more and be better cooks but didn't know exactly how to get started. After talking with people and learning more about their cooking lifestyles, she realized that people not only needed help with mastering simple cooking techniques, but also needed tools for planning and prepping to ensure that a homemade meal is on the table. I'm so happy to have Kathy on the show tonight, and I am so happy to introduce her to you because she is one of our Fit to Be Bride sponsors. Now, as you know, we are having this event Tuesday, April 14th, 2015, p.m. to 9 p.m. Fit to Be Bride Wellness Affairs presented by Bridal Tribe Magazine in collaboration with Alba's exclusive events. We're going to have exercise demonstrations, mini spa treatments, cooking workshops, as you know, after you will hear tonight, and vendor and prize giveaways. It's going to be so much fun. I can't wait to post more information about it and have you join us. But for now, I want to go ahead and bring Kathy in and find out all about Tutorial to Table, T2T, so that you guys can get in on an upcoming contest that we'll be having and win a chance for Kathy to come over to you and give you a cooking lesson. Kathy, welcome to Tribal Wisdom.
Thank you so much for having me tonight, Cynthia. I'm super excited to be on your podcast this evening.
Me too. I want you to tell our listeners who you are, where you're from, and what it is that you do.
Excellent. So like Cynthia said, my name is Kathy. I created Tutorial to Table about a year and a half ago to, you know, help people learn how to cook, more like learning the lifestyle around cooking. But to kind of rewind even before that, I've been in New York for about 10 years. I'm a public school teacher. I teach second grade. And I started Tutorial to Table about a year and a half ago. There is a lot of New Yorkers out there that are, you know, ordering in all the time or eating out and aren't really sure where to begin when it comes to cooking. So I realized this and realized that it wasn't so much that people, you know, some people like were like, oh, I don't know what it means when it says roast. I don't know what it means when it says saute or steam. But a lot of people also, you know, just have very busy lifestyles. You know, they come home from work. They're tired, they're hungry, they're ready to eat. And without the kind of proper planning for, you know, weeknight meals, it can be very challenging when it comes to grocery shopping, when it comes to food prep, when it comes to meal planning. So I created this business to help people make cooking a part of their daily lifestyle. You know, I think that some of us were lucky enough to have family members pass down traditions of recipes and how to prepare meals for their families at home. And many of us grew up on, you know, kind of frozen foods, Stouffer's, Betty Crocker's. But there's a whole generation of people, I think, that have kind of missed out on learning how to cook. And so that's pretty much, what, you know, what I share with people.
Awesome. Now, there are two things that you said that I really, really like. One is that you are combining your passions because even though you are a second grade teacher, you also have a passion for cooking and all things culinary, and you get to pull together the two. You get to teach as well as cook. I think that's inspiring because we have a lot of people who are looking to find their passions and find a way not just to make money with it, but just to kind of build a life around your passion. That's something that we've been talking about all month with Get Fired Up for Marriage. So I really like that part of what you're doing.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny because the idea for Tutorial to Table came around actually when I was at a farm upstate with my CSA, which is Community Supported Agriculture. I was with like a group on a farm, and we were, you know, like picking weeds from the fields. It was kind of supposed to be an excursion for like city folk to go out to spade and get their hands dirty on a farm. And I was with some friends, and we were talking about what we did. This is about 2 years ago. We were talking about what we did, and one of my friends of a friend who was there, he asked me what I did, and he said that he helps people monetize their passions. And I was like, well, what do you mean when you say that? And he's like, well, like, what do you like to do? And I said, well, I like to eat. I like to have dinner parties. Mm-hmm. I like to host. I like to have people over. And he said, okay, and, you know, you're a teacher. And I was like, exactly, but I mean, what do I do with that? And so he really kind of helped me piece together this idea that I could really leverage my skills as a teacher, you know, the background that I have, like in unit planning, lesson planning, curriculum planning, and pairing that with like my love for food. I think that knowing what you like to eat and also knowing a few recipes is wonderful, but I think for the busy everyday person, a large part of it is the lifestyle planning around it, is the weekly meal planning around it. So it's great because I do feel like I get to take my strengths as a teacher, and I take, you know, my love for food, for eating food, for cooking food, for sharing food. And you're right, that's what I've been able to do with Tutorial to Table. So it's been a really neat journey this past year and a half. And just going into people's homes has been a really neat journey, and kind of seeing where they are with their cooking lifestyle and the things that they need. And it's definitely something, you know, if there are people out there feeling like, okay, I'm ready to start a family and I don't know how to cook.
Yes.
You're definitely not alone. There are many, many other people out there with you.
You know, another thing that I like is that it doesn't necessarily have to be for people who don't know how to cook. I know I am personally getting busier and busier by
mm-hmm.
the week, by the month, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually like cooking. Cooking is something
I know
how anybody else thinks
about
it, but yeah, it's soothing to me because, you know, this, you know, it's just the method of, you have to season the food, you have to, you know, you just have
right.
to do these things that are methodical. And so it's a very soothing thing for me, but the busier I am, the less I cook, and I don't like
of
that
course.
Because it kind of takes me off kilter, you know, our bodies
rhythm.
Really respond. Yes, it's definitely off my rhythm. You know, my body responds to what I put into it, and I'm not a big junk food eater.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that I could say, you know, let me give Kathy a call and have her come over and have, you know, remember how to prepare or how to do the shopping, you know,
right.
how to just prep
right.
stuff so that I can take stuff on the go, take healthy stuff with me
right.
on the go,
right.
And that you could most likely offer me ideas on different foods that I hadn't thought of or different recipes that
mm-hmm.
I hadn't thought of. So
mm-hmm.
it's definitely something that I wouldn't just push toward individuals who don't know how to cook. I personally will keep you right, you know, right here in my Rolodex and say, Kathy, you're going to have to come over because I'm kind of lost for next month. I just looked at my schedule. It's going to be crazy. I think I might need you to stop over and, you know, show me a few things to kind of put together. So
that's
one thing.
That's a good point.
The other thing is, I want to tell our listeners that you happen to be a bride-to-be.
I am. This July. So it's crazy and wonderful.
Yes. So you actually can really relate to the fit-to-be bride, the preparing a wedding, you know, the stressful,
yes.
you know, the things can get really crazy when you are planning a wedding and when you're trying to do stuff.
Absolutely.
So you're a businesswoman, you're a teacher, and you're planning a wedding. You know, I can't even imagine right now what your life looks like. So you can really relate to individuals who are doing the same thing, and you can kind of step in and say, look, I know how you feel. Let me help you out. Let me show you some
mm-hmm.
things that I've tried.
Right.
So let's get into the conversation about, go on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, absolutely.
No.
You know, to what you were saying is that so much of it is, you know, because the way that I look at my life right now, like you said, you know, I'm teaching, I'm managing Tutorial to Table, I'm planning a wedding, and all of them feel like jobs. So one of the things that's really important is just, like, for my lifestyle is to be very organized. And the way that I would it might sound a little silly to some people, but the way that I plan for our meals at home is that I take the same – well, not as much. I take the same mentality and effort as I would as like, oh, I'm planning a wedding. I need a spreadsheet. I'm planning, my lesson plan. I need this template. So in a way, I take a lot of those similar practices, and I take eating and meal planning as kind of, I don't know if seriously is the word, but I try and take those same skills that I would use so that everything is in order, you know, because like you said, when you're so busy, it's so easy to get, you know, kicked out of your routine, whether that's cooking and you like it because it's therapeutic and because it's good for you. But when you don't have, I think a plan for how can you fit that into your lifestyle when things are so busy, it just gets pushed to the side, you know, because there are other things that are going on that take priority. But I think when you do have a plan, mm-hmm. you can figure out how to fit that in with your busy, busy schedule. And I think that's a huge part of it. It's like, okay, we can't plan for this elaborate meal on Wednesday night, but we can get this X, Y, and Z prepped and planned on Sunday, you know, to be prepared to have 20 minutes on Wednesday night to make that meal. So with all those moving parts, I think the planning is really important, the same way that wedding planning is really important, and the same way that, my lesson planning is really important. It takes kind of similar mentality, I think.
Yeah, it definitely takes a discipline because, like I said, I definitely love to cook. It's something that is soothing for me to be in my kitchen and preparing mm-hmm. a meal and, you know, all that other stuff. But, you know, life happens. We get knocked off our schedule. Plans change. Emergencies come up. All kinds of things happen to take us off our rhythm, as you said. So, mm-hmm. yes, it's definitely good to have someone like a cooking coach that we can come talk to, or a consultant that we can come talk to. So why don't we get into a couple of tips and talk about cooking lifestyle and how it can benefit our health, our wallet, and our families.
Yes.
Because to me, that's the main reason that I'm bringing you to this show. I really think that in this day and age, as much as people like going out, you know, I do like going out, but mm-hmm. like I said, I don't like to eat out as much. How can we introduce the lifestyle of, listen, I want to do this at home. I want to have more dinner parties at mm-hmm. home. You know, we go to restaurants. Something happened recently with some spinach at a restaurant where it was contaminated and people got sick.
Oh, boy.
Something happened at, another restaurant. And I'm not trying to, you know, dissuade anyone from going out and having a good time. I think it's something you should also do proper planning with. But if you're looking to spend a little more time with friends in an intimate setting at home, laughing it up, yucking it up, having mm-hmm. a great time, Kathy is the right person to help you make that happen, because you also cater, don't you?
Yes, I have done some catering for some small events and parties. So, yes, dinner parties are very important to me.
we'll get back to that then.
Yes. I think what you're saying is absolutely right, is that, you know, for a lot of us when we're looking to start our own family, whether that's, you know, mm-hmm. with a partner or on our own or with a child, mm-hmm. There's an innate feeling that we want to be able to nurture and nourish. And I think one of the primary things that we want to do is to be able to provide. And what is something we do on a daily basis that nourishes us? We eat. We have to eat. We eat, we sleep, we drink. So food is an integral part of, I think, nourishment of providing for your family. So I think what you're saying is spot on about that. You know, as much as we can go out and as much as we can order in, we want to know what we're putting in our bodies, especially as we're getting older. So the health point is super important. And we want to also make sure we're making good economical decisions for our families. So while it can be fun and easy to order in or to go out, I think after a while, once you start to add up the dollars, you realize that you could be overspending, perhaps in your food category. You could be overspending in restaurants in general. So, you know, the three main things that I kind of talk to people about are kind of what you said. You know, one is the weekly meal planning. One is health, and one is, your wallet. Saving money. So something that I think is really important is that when you, let's for example, I usually do my meal planning on a Sunday. So on Sunday is when I'm not at work teaching during the week, so I have a little more brain power, I'm a little more rested, and I'll just take about 15, 20 minutes to really think about what do we want to eat this week. And then once I think about what do we want to eat, I usually base it around a protein, and then I start to think of other vegetables and starches that I would have with that. I have a little template, a little tutorial to table template that is a Monday through Friday kind of meal planning template. So I'll plug in, you know, the variables of what we'd like to eat, and from there I will create a grocery shopping list. And from there I do most of my grocery shopping on Fresh Direct, which is an online grocer in New York. A lot of what we're talking about is time and convenience, so it's really convenient for me to get my groceries delivered at 6:30 a.m. on a Monday. Mm-hmm. That way I avoid all kinds of shopping. Yeah, they start delivering at 6 in the morning. So it's literally my wake-up call when I'm getting ready for work. It's like, oh, my groceries are here. And you know what? To be honest, the Fresh Direct guys in the morning are in a little bit better mood than in the evening, because in the evening it's towards the end of their shift and they might be late. But for us, it's really convenient because it's the time that we're home as well. You know, it's like after work, we might have other activities or other work obligations to go to. So getting our groceries in the morning is awesome, because we fill up our fridge and we didn't leave the house to do it. And something that's really cool about Fresh Direct and other online grocers is they, you know, they save your shopping carts, they know your favorites, so it's quite easy and fast. And part of it too is that you avoid the energy of a busy grocery store. You know, New York City has some crazy grocery stores. I love Whole Foods, I love Trader Joe's. I don't love waiting in line for a long time. I don't love pushing people in the aisleways trying to get my favorite, you know, cut of meat or whatever. So part of it is just avoiding the energy of the crowds. And then, you know, if you don't have a car and then you're like lugging your groceries on the subway or on the bus. I used to go cross town in Harlem to go to Fairway, and I would have bags and bags of groceries to get on the bus, and it was ridiculous, the amount of stuff that I was carrying. Right. And then you ask yourself, like, can I really buy juice? Can I really buy this toilet paper? Like, am I going to be able to carry it? So part of it is that lifestyle piece of, like, what is easiest for you? For us, getting our groceries delivered to our door is the easiest thing that we could do, because in terms of the quality of produce that's offered in my neighborhood, you know, I would go to, like, three grocery stores, one grocery store for chicken, one grocery store for veggies, and one grocery store I get, like, pantry items, like rice or couscous or something like that. But it's like when you add up the amount of time that I'm spending to get all the groceries that I could get in a few clicks online, you know, it's kind of a no-brainer. So there's that. And the also advantageous thing about online shopping is that you can really monitor your shopping cart. So you can see, oh, okay, our limit is $100 a week. We will not go over $100 a week. And it's different when you're at the grocery store and you have a full shopping cart and you go to the checkout and you realize, oh, my goodness gracious, I spent $160 on groceries. You know, it's a little more awkward to then return, you know, oh, no, I don't want this. I don't need this. You know, to make those last-minute decisions to either try and stick to your budget, or you buy all of those things and feel a little bit bad about not sticking within your budget. So that's another beautiful thing I think about online shopping, is that, like, you can monitor your cart, and when you see I've gone over what the money I've set aside for grocery shopping, I can just take it out and make decisions without feeling any emotional which way about it or put on the spot. And, you know, the other thing, too, is just the health point that we were talking about. When you know what's going into your food, when you know the amount of salt, when you know the ingredients that you're using, when you can pronounce all of the ingredients you're using – you're just going to overall have a more nutritious and healthful meal. You know, a lot of restaurants, too, are delicious and amazing, but the amount of sodium that they also would use in something quite simple, like chicken or a soup, it's like, it's pretty alarming. Like, you cook the same meal at home and the same meal, have the same meal in a restaurant, but the way you prepare it, because you can control the ingredients that you put in, will most often, I think, be a lot more healthful than what you can find at restaurants.
Agreed. That's another conversation that friends and I were having recently, is the hidden sodium in food, and not just processed food, because we're not processed food eaters, but the hidden sodium in our food, you know, we don't realize the effects that it has on our bodies, or that it has on our energy throughout the day. There's so many factors to really consider when you do the comparison of, should I eat at home Should I bring something from home or should I eat out?
Right.
So I totally agree with you on that point where we can really control better what we're putting into our bodies. And even if, you know, one thing I don't like to really talk about getting sick, if I ever for some reason come up sick or not feeling well and I have to see a doctor, we are always able to trace, you know, right back to, and sometimes I don't even have to go because I can trace it right back to something that I've changed in my diet. I'm always able to say, well, no, I'm, you know, it's pretty simple. I love my oatmeal and raisins in the morning with, you know, peanuts and trail mix, and I love my orange juice. It's just so much easier to be able to discuss your health with your health practitioner when you know for certain what it is that goes into your body, how you track it. Like you said, you make the lists. So it really does help you in more ways than one.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's talk about a few tips that we want to give. I was on the site just now. You know, I love your site, and I'm like, where's her blog? She had these wonderful tips on the blog, and now I can't find them.
Thank you.
When we're talking about preparedness, because you have your formula here, where it's assess, plan, prep, and cook.
Mm-hmm.
Great formula. You did mention it a little bit earlier in the show. And by the way, you know what? I neglected to tell our listeners that if you would like to call in and speak to Kathy, if you have any questions, feel free to give us a call, 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 if you have a question or a comment, and we are happy to bring you in on the conversation. So back to the process that you've put together, assess, plan, prep, cook. How can we better assess new things to bring into our diet? I know that I have to, you know, I love spinach. I love spinach. I eat too much spinach. So how can I sit down and say I need to integrate more vegetables, more green vegetables, more colorful vegetables into my meal plan and figure out, and then also make sure that they taste good because, you know, I'm a foodie.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't taste good, it is not happening ever again.
Yes.
So give us a few tips on assessing, making the assessment of how we're going to cook as a single person or as a, you know, for a dinner party, for a night with your love, or for your family. How do we make these, how do we put together the assessment?
Well, I think that, so part of it, you know, with the assess that I speak with clients is kind of like, I try and get a gauge of their cooking lifestyle. So I kind of ask, like, how often do you cook? What do you feel comfortable cooking? What's something that you would like to try in the kitchen? You know, who do you cook for? Is it just yourself? Is it your spouse? Is it your partner? Is it a child? Is it your whole family? So when I get a better sense of what they feel comfortable doing in the kitchen, how often they cook, and this really varies in range. It could be, you know, someone who cooks once a month. It could be someone who cooks quite regularly, 3 times a week. So once I get a gauge of what they're comfortable with in the kitchen, then I can get a better gauge of something that we'd like to try together. And I would say, you know, for like you, who you know that you love spinach and you want to venture out, I think that something important to do is to kind of venture out one ingredient at a time. You know, it's like if you know that you love chicken and you love spinach and you love rice, maybe the only variable that changes at night is that you have chicken and rice and zucchini. You know, I think that part of it is that people try and do things that are a bit beyond their reach, maybe in the kitchen. And so they're like, oh, I'm going to try this amazing recipe. I'm having friends over for dinner. I'm going to try this amazing recipe that I found online. And it might be beyond their reach. And what happens is they're overwhelmed. When they're cooking, and it can come out to be, you know, like not a success for them. And then they feel a little discouraged and then they don't want to do it again. And then they just in general feel like, gosh, you know, I've been trying these recipes. It says 30 minutes, takes me an hour and a half. Like cooking is just kind of not for me. It's just easier. Or they'll go halfway. You know, they'll say, oh, I had this great recipe and I didn't have all the ingredients. So I just stopped. So I think part of it is, like, you have to be honest with where you are in the kitchen. You know, like, do I know how to steam something? Do I know how to roast something? Do I know how to saute something? Do I even know what those terms mean? So I think you have to be honest with where you are, and then from there, try one thing that's new. You know, one thing that I talk about with people is that, you know, a lot of people are really married to recipes when they really should learn basic techniques. Because if you know how to roast, if you know how to steam, if you know how to saute, if you know how to boil something, you can plug and chug different variables and ingredients. And then you can make your own recipe. Whereas a lot of time recipes call for a set of ingredients and then they tell you to do, you know, steps 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5. And you may be doing something very simple like roasting vegetables, but like if you don't know that that's the technique that you're doing, you're not quite aware that you can use different ingredients and then, you know, get your own very simple meal or get your own dish on your own with whatever you have. So I think that it's important, mm-hmm. you know, just to, and on my website under tips, I do have videos for those, for 4 very simple techniques, because I really try and encourage people like to learn those very simple techniques, because if you can do those techniques, you can plug in a lot of different types of foods to get a very simple weeknight meal. So, yeah, with the assessing, I think you have to know who you are as a cook, whether that's a novice or beyond novice, and then just introduce things kind of one at a time.
I love it. Let's move on, because I definitely want to be able to share a couple of these tips in the event that we have on Facebook, so people can kind of get a feel for what it is that they could be doing. I want to definitely send them to your videos. I'm so glad that you brought that up. I can't wait to share some of your videos. All right, so just to recap a little bit, you said assess, the best thing to do is be honest with where you are in the kitchen, people.
Yes.
Because I can definitely admit to being able to cook, but not necessarily knowing exactly what I was doing. Now, I think I told you, I shared with you that my dad was a chef. So I always watched him, and I'm able to cook. But if you ask me whether or not I sauteed, braised, you know, mm-hmm. or anything like that, I could not tell you. I know when I steam something, and I know when I broil mm-hmm. something in the oven. That's about it. If you ask me mm-hmm. what I did, I'd be like, I cooked it. What do you want? You know, stop asking me silly questions. It tastes good, doesn't it?
Right.
So good. A good place to start is to be honest where you are in the kitchen, and let's get to know some terms. All right, so moving on past assessment, let's talk a little bit about planning. When it comes to planning, let's go with the basic tools. What do we need to really get our planning on?
In terms of, you know, planning in terms of tools that you need in the kitchen, or kind of planning to plan out your week successfully?
I'm literally thinking first get a pen and a paper, you know?
Okay, right.
I'm talking
absolutely,
about like
yes.
the bare bones basic. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
After we get the pen and paper, you just mentioned 2 things. If you're planning out the week, or if you're planning out, what did you say, like the recipe?
Right. So great. So, you know, I just met with a couple last week, and I asked them, we were at the assess phase, and I said, let's be honest, like, what would be a good goal for you to cook at home? Would it be 4 times a week? Would it be 3 times a week? You know, 3 dinners, 2 dinners. She said, let's try 3 dinners. So I said, okay. So from these 3 dinners, let's think about what you like to eat. So let's say, come up with a feasible goal for yourself. If you don't cook at all, you know, maybe 2 dinners in 1 week is a big accomplishment for yourself. You don't want to wear yourself out and, you know, wear yourself thin by planning, you know, 6 meals if that's not something that you regularly do. So let's say that your goal is to make, you know, 3 dinners for 1 week. So the first thing I want you to think about is, what do I want to eat for dinner? Because so many people find themselves in the grocery store after work at 7 p.m. and grumpy and a little hungry, and then they end up buying way more than they need because they're hungry in the store. That's like one of my big tips. I'm like, do not go grocery shopping when you are hungry. You will walk out with more than you had planned for. I've done that many times.
Yes, yes.
So, figure out what are the, you know, when you are at home and calm or somewhere when you're not hungry, and thinking about what are the 3 things that I'd like to have for dinner. Do I like to eat chicken? Do I like to eat beef? Do I like to eat lamb? Do I like to eat pork? Do I like to eat lentils? Do I like to eat soups? So thinking about what those things are, And writing them down. Like, I literally have a template that says Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And the way that I do it, because I pretty much eat everything, is that I first start with my protein. So I know that I also like to rotate my foods for health reasons. So I like to have, I might want to have chicken on one night, I might want to have fish on another night, I might want to have a lamb on another night, and then maybe I'll have chicken again. And for everyone, this can look different. Obviously, if people are vegetarian or if they're vegan or if they have health restrictions, there is going to look different. And from there, then I think about what vegetables do I like to eat. And actually, when I first work with some clients, I have them list these things out first. So a step beyond, because like you said, I love spinach, but like, you know, I want to try some other things. So you could literally even, on one of my kitchen questionnaires, I have a list of vegetables just so people get ideas. People kind of forget what's out there. They're like, oh, yeah, I really like zucchini, or I really like eggplant, or I really love mushrooms, but I never think to buy them. So with that, then starting to plug in the other parts of your meal. So for me, it's like maybe I plugged in, like I said, chicken, fish, lamb, chicken. And then I said, oh, well, these are the vegetables I like. I love kale. I love carrots. I love zucchini. I love mushrooms. So then I'll just pair one of those with one of them. So I'll make, okay, so I want chicken and kale. And then I want lamb and carrots. So it's kind of like a, I call it like a plug and chug game where I just put the variables into the template. So once I've got that mapped out, then I think, okay, do I feel like a starch? Do I want rice? Do I want noodles? Do I want couscous? Or do I not want anything? Or do I want potatoes, you know? So that's, you know, up to everyone what they think is a complete meal. And so once they've done a little sketch, you know, sometimes they do this on the computer, sometimes I'll literally do it on an envelope if I'm in a rush, on the back of an envelope. But I have like a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday grid. So,
right,
you know, once
right.
they have that, once you have that, then you can start to plan a grocery list. And I think where people, I think this is the most time-consuming part for some people, because then they think, I want chicken, but, like, what do I mean when I say chicken? Like, should I now look up a recipe? And then when I look up the recipe, oh, my gosh, there's so many ingredients that go with the recipe. And that's where I think people start to get overwhelmed, because they're like, well, I mean, I don't know if I can feasibly do this recipe on a weeknight, and I don't know if I have those ingredients in my pantry. So in my mind, if you have salt, pepper, and olive oil, you can do anything. So that being said, if you are a very beginner basic cook, get salt, pepper, and olive oil. And, you know, a lot of times when I go to people's homes and they're like, oh, yeah, I have those things, and then when you create a meal, they're like, guys, that was really simple and it was really tasty and we only used those things. So I just want people to know that you don't have to have a huge pantry or spice rack. You can, and eventually I think it's great to build it when you know what to do with those things. But if you're going to buy a whole spice just for one recipe that you might not touch again, and then it's going to sit there for literally years, you know, then it's not so much worth it, because then it's going to go bad and you're not going to use it and it takes up space and clutter stuff. So that being said, back to the planning, you know, start simple, plug in those things that you like to eat, create a grocery list, and then ask yourself, where am I going to buy these groceries? You know, what is the store? Is it on my way home from work? Is it easy for me? Is it something that is like a day event that I have to go out and do? And I think that you have to also be realistic with, and, you know, and maybe be open to trying something new. It's like, ooh, this grocery store, like, they don't really have the kind of meat that lives up to my standards, or the produce looks a little sad. You know, sometimes that takes a lot of research. You know, in every neighborhood in New York is different. You know, there's like the gourmet and then there's like the bodega. So I think you have to know your neighborhood too a bit, or know the store that you'd like to go to, or, you know, you could try an online supermarket. But part of it is also knowing where to shop. I think that people find that to be an obstacle, because let's say they have their grocery list and they're like, okay, I'm ready to go. And then they're at the store and they're like, wow, this is really not up to the quality of ingredients that I'd like to put in my body, or they're missing this, not just one thing, but a few things. So part of it is also knowing your store and how to grocery shop, because I think that when you go grocery shopping without a plan, you more often than not will walk out with more than you need, and not necessarily with a clear idea of what you're going to be having for dinner. So I think planning is tremendously important. I mean, maybe that's the teacher coming out of me with lesson planning and unit planning, but I think it can make people much more efficient. And like you said, it's like in the day and age of, you know, you know, people having full-time jobs, starting their own business on the side, you know, people are really busy. So the plan is what makes it efficient to cook. And if you don't have a plan and if you're not efficient, then it's going to be a deterrent to you cooking because you're like, this is way too much of my time investment and time is very precious to me. So I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to order in. Like seamless is so much easier. So I think that you can't neglect the planning if you really want to make it a part of like your lifestyle.
Excellent. You made excellent points how the importance of the plan. On top of that, as you mentioned earlier, if they don't have time to stop by a store or something coming home, they can just click on Fresh Direct or whatever grocery delivery service that they like and have them deliver it. So we do have choices. You mentioned two things. You said time and convenience. So make it convenient so that you can take the time to make home-cooked meals for yourself, for your friends, for your family. So, great.
Absolutely.
Moving right along, let's go over to prepping.
Yes. So part of having what's important about the plan is knowing, like, what kind of prep work can I do in advance? Because ultimately, when you come home on Monday and it's 6:30 and you want to be eating by about 7:15, you don't want to have to start completely from scratch if you don't have to. So that's when I kind of, you know, with clients, I'll say, okay, well, let's look at your plan. Let's look at your weekly meal plan. You say that you want to have, you want to have fried rice on this night, or you say that you want to have some mixed vegetables on this night. So what can we do on Sunday when we are not at work or whatever day that may be for you? What can we do in advance that will keep that long in the fridge? So it could be as simple as like, oh, I'm gonna rinse these vegetables, I'm gonna chop them and put them in a Ziploc bag. Or it could be I wanna have fried rice on Tuesday, I'm gonna make the rice in advance and then I'm gonna stick it in the fridge because it's better day old for that anyway. So you're kind of looking at your plan and seeing what can you prep in advance so that when it comes, you know, a big thing I do is I always make a salad dressing in advance because I don't wanna be squeezing a lemon and pouring olive oil every single night. I can just put it in a jar and it will keep for a week. So looking at that plan and saying, what kind of things can I do in advance so when the weekday comes, I can execute this quickly. And part of the prep part, too, is when you become more well-versed in the kitchen, you can know what component of the meal to start first. I think this is a big thing that slows people down. So let's say that I'm making a meal. I'm going to pan sear some chicken breasts, and I'm going to stick them in the oven. And I also want to steam some kale and roast some vegetables. Let's say I want to do all those things, all three things for my meal. So some people will say, okay, and they don't really think about what they want to do first, next, and last. And what I'm always thinking about is what is going to be the most time efficient? When I set my timer, when I stick that chicken in, what's going to be the most time efficient? What can I do before, in between, and as everything's getting ready? So you kind of have to consider how long everything takes to cook. Because a lot of times inexperienced cooks will just start cooking one thing at a time and they'll stagger and they'll only literally do one thing at a time so that instead of 30 minutes, it's taken about an hour or an hour plus because they did everything separately. And remember, you have a whole stove. You have a stovetop and you have an oven and all of those things can be working simultaneously at once. So, you know, first thing I'll do is I'll preheat my oven to get it ready for my roast vegetables and for my chicken and I'll start to chop. And then I'll put those in the tray, olive oil, salt, pepper, stick that in the oven. And then I'll start the chicken on top of the stove. And then after I pan sear that, I'll also stick that in the same oven, you know, in the oven with my veggies. And then I'll move on to the kale because I know that steaming takes the least amount of time. So part of the prep is wrapping your head a little bit around the technique and thinking about the timing of how long everything takes. Because there's nothing to me that's more annoying that if you're in a rush and you're kind of idly waiting for one thing to finish to start the next thing. A lot of things can happen simultaneously, and it might feel overwhelming when you're hearing me talk about it. But when we're actually in the kitchen doing it, we're mainly just kind of keeping busy so that at the end, after 30 minutes, it's like, oh, everything's kind of done around the same time. And that's like the beauty of a restaurant and the chef, right? They know the timing of everything and the plating to get everyone's meals to the table on time. And so that's kind of also.
And they have a lot of help.
Yes, they absolutely have a lot of help. So if you don't have that kind of help, you really have to kind of consider, you know, what takes how long and how can I make it so that things kind of finish around the same time so that I'm not like, oh, man, now my vegetables are getting cold. Now it's 45 minutes later, and that's still not ready. So part of it is planning, you know, the meals and executing them in a way that, you know, saves time. I'm saying, for me, everything comes back to time and convenience. And that also goes with, the, you know, the planning. But so the prepping is really important. And that's where I would say a lot of times, sometimes the most guidance is needed, because people aren't sure either what they can do in advance, or they're not exactly sure in what order to do it, or they're not exactly sure how long something will take. So I think that's where, you know, I was talking about with the planning and the getting overwhelmed with the recipes, but I think this is another downfall for people when they're like, oh, man, like everything is taking so long because I got one thing done, I did A, now I want to do B, now I've got to do C, instead of like A, B, C happening more fluidly. So that's the kind of my kind of beliefs and ideas around the prep.
Okay. No, I like it that the main point is, what can we do in advance to help you stick to your plan, to stick to your cooking plan, to stick to the plan of maintaining your budget, your lifestyle, and your health. So
Absolutely. Great tip.
Let's move on to the last one, which is cooking. How, you know, and I have a specific question about the cooking. How do we decide what to do? You mentioned you can cook on top of the stove, you can cook in the oven, you can braise, you can steam, you can broil, you can bake. You know, you have all these kind of different choices of what to do. How can we decide whether it's about convenience or just about taste? I get a different, you know, taste of when I cook my chicken on the stove than when I cook it in the oven. How do we decide? I mean, in fact, why don't you just break those down for us, the difference between the braising, the baking, the broiling, and, you know, cooking on the stove. Let's start there.
Yeah. So that's such a great question because there are, like you said, so many different ways to cook. So I'm just going to refer to the tips that I have on my website with those four, and then I can talk about a little bit more. So when sautéing is a method that's done in the pan on top of the stove. So you turn on a burner. It's a very common way to cook vegetables. You usually can drizzle some olive oil, throw in some kale, or throw in your zucchini or carrot, season with salt and pepper. And my favorite tool for sautéing is a pair of good tongs, because then you can kind of move the vegetables around. So sautéing is something that generally takes about 5 to 7 minutes. So if you just want to cook up some vegetables in a simple and pretty healthful way, sautéing is a very basic kind of common way to do that. Next, we have steaming, which is a very healthy way to cook, you know, prepare anything. And, you know, you don't need a fancy steamer to steam. I usually have a colander, which is like a drainer, like a pasta drainer or whatever, and a pot. So I'll fill the pot with water about halfway, and I'll turn my burner to high heat so it can bring to a boil. I'll stick whatever it is I'm cooking, whether it's the veggies, in the colander, and I'll put that in the pot, cover it with the lid. And that also takes about, you know, depending on the vegetable, it could be 6 to 7 minutes, but a super easy kind of clean way to prepare vegetables, and then I might add some butter to it so it can melt on there, and then, you know, season again with salt and pepper if I want to do that. So steaming is a pretty healthy, really healthy, standard kind of easy way to prepare some vegetables. One of my favorite ways to prepare different cuts of meats is to do like a pan sear and then an oven finish. So it's a really great way to keep things juicy, and it's actually really simple, and it kind of makes it feel a little fancy. So let's say that you have like a lamb chop, or let's say that you have a bone-in chicken breast or steak even. So I use my cast iron pan, or, you know, regular saute pan is fine, but the first thing I would do is preheat the oven so that the oven is getting hot. So that's like the preheat oven to like 400 degrees. And I'll start on top of the stove. So I'll drizzle olive oil, maybe a little butter. I'll put that lamb in there. I'll let it sit for about 5 minutes so it gets like a nice golden crust. And then I'll turn it over for another 5 minutes. So that side gets a nice golden crust. And then I'll just take the whole pan, as long as you have an oven-safe pan, and I'll slide it into the oven. And then I won't touch it for like 20 minutes. And I'll just set a timer and I'll leave it alone. Mm. And that's like a perfect time when I put it in the oven to like start doing something else. So like, okay, my lamb is in the oven now, and now I'm going to start my vegetables that I'm going to steam. So that's one of my favorite ways to prepare meat. And on the website on my website under tips, under videos, underneath the videos, there's like a step-by-step process for that. And then another common technique is roasting. And roasting is something that you can roast a chicken, you could roast a leg of lamb. But I mean, I think to start, if you've never roasted, which is, I would just start with vegetables. Like, let's say you have some potatoes and you have some carrots and you have some onions and you chop them. I think something really important about knowing about roasting when you put it in the oven is that you want to have them about equal size, because if they're not equal size, they're going to cook differently. You know, so like a huge chunk of carrot is going to take longer to cook than like a small sliver of a potato. So it's important to kind of cut the ingredients in a similar size. Same thing again, drizzle with olive oil, season with salt and pepper. And I think another important part about roasting is like you want things in one layer. You don't want to stack them. When you stack them, like let's say you're like, oh, I want to cook all of these potatoes. But when you do that, you're not really roasting. The food's going to steam a little bit, and it's not going to get the same kind of caramelized, bringing out the natural sugars and whatever you're cooking feel when you're roasting. So those are four very simple techniques. And then your next question was like, how do you choose which one to do? Is that what you were saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. So yes. I think that, yes, okay. So there are a few things that I consider when I'm choosing which technique that I want to use. One is time, like you said. Sometimes it's the amount of dishes, or sometimes it's also the amount of available oven space or stove space. You know, like kind of like, well, if this is going to be in the oven, it's better if I cook this on the stovetop because there's not enough space and it might not be there might not be enough room for that in the oven. But I think something to consider is, this is where it's a little tricky, Cynthia, because there are so many, like, for example, let's say you eat meat. There are so many different cuts of meat that you can get, and some are better cooked at, like, a high heat for a small, like, a short period of time, and some cuts that are more economical are more delicious when they're slow cooked over a low temperature or over a long period of time. So part of it is also knowing what you are buying. Because you might say, like, gosh, that looks great. Like, that pork shoulder looks awesome. And pork shoulder is awesome. It's, you know, generally $2.99 a pound, and you could get a whole pork shoulder for, you know, less than $30, and it will feed 10 people. But pork shoulder is something you really need like 8 hours for. So you have to know what kind of time is required for what you're buying. And that especially is true for meat. You know, like let's say you buy a whole chicken. A whole chicken's lovely if you want to roast a whole chicken and you have like an hour and a half to do it. Maybe you don't have an hour and a half. So it's better for you to buy boneless, skinless chicken thighs. Or it's better for you to buy, you know, a chicken breast, and then you might bread it and do something with it. So part of it is also doing a little bit of research about what do I have time to do, and what is the best technique for that cut of whatever it is. And that, you know, obviously takes research, and that's something that I help people with in terms of like, okay, these are the cuts of, you know, meat that would be prime for a weeknight. These are not, because this is like great for a dinner party when you have all day to cook it. So I think part of it is knowing what is best for the cut of meat. But then, you know, with the vegetables, for me, it's a preference. You know, I like the way the oven-roasted vegetables taste because they're like, they have a little crust on the outside, and they can bring out the natural sugars and carrots and beets, and they can make them really sweet. Sometimes I want to steam, especially if, like, you know, like, I've been feeling like, ooh, a little unhealthy. I want to get back on track. Then steaming is the way to go for me. A little bit of butter, no seasoning. And it's very easy. And it's very, it doesn't make like a big mess, I guess. There's no oil splattering anywhere. And then, you know, sauteing is just like very simple. And it's also another go-to. So I think sometimes with the techniques, it's like you consider what it, like you said, the flavors. Like, I love, you know, carrots. I also love carrots raw. I love them grated raw very finely with a salad or on the side of something. But it kind of depends what you're in the mood for, because the carrot completely changes. You know, it's like it's nice and crunchy and bright when it's raw. and then it's, you know, it's sugary and golden when it's roasted. So it's kind of considering what is the taste that you like, what do you have time for, and, you know, maybe how you're feeling, too. I know there's, like, a lot of factors that I've just stated when it comes to the techniques. But those are all the things I kind of consider. But, you know, if I were working with someone for the first time, I would show them probably one or two techniques, and they would try and get comfortable. And then I would try another. And then, you know, once you increase your vocabulary in the kitchen, then I think that you have a better idea of not only what you're comfortable with, but what you like, what you prefer, you know, what you prefer in terms of taste, because everyone's tastes are different.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So to my listeners, we have just gone over just kind of a quick lesson on assessing, planning, prepping, and cooking for yourself, for your family, for your friends, whatever it is. And Kathy has given us some great tips for each, which I will be posting in the event on Facebook. In the meantime, if you would like to develop your skills, Kathy has a program that you can check out on her website, tutorialtotable.com. Look in the services area, and she has a Tutorial to Table elementary program. Of course she would, because she's an elementary school teacher. She has a three-week program. She has a secondary program. She has a number of wonderful packages that you can choose from. If it's not for yourself, you can purchase a gift package for someone else. I think that's a great idea, to be able to purchase a gift package for a new bride if you know she can't cook. But I won't, you know, I won't put that out there. But please go check out tutorialtotable.com. Look under the services tab and look at the Develop Your Skills program, so that you can go ahead and bring Kathy in to help you with a couple of things, including hosting. She will help you host an event. Now, if you would like the opportunity to win one of the sessions for free, we will be posting that up today on Instagram as well as Facebook. It will go up on Twitter, and you will have the chance, just by doing a few simple things, to go ahead and win a chance to have Kathy come and show you a few things. Again, I'm very excited that she will be at our Fit to Be Bride affair, our wellness affair, doing a very short demonstration of what she does, and you can get a taste of her food should you decide to come by. So, Kathy, I know you can't believe this, but our hour is just about gone.
Wow, I see. Yeah, I'm looking at the clock.
I know. Yes, yes, we always have a good time. So just to make sure that everyone knows where to find you, please let everyone know all your social media hangouts, where they can get your tips, where they can see your videos, you know, where they can connect with you.
Mm-hmm. So the website that Cynthia referred you to, tutorialtotable.com, and that's where I have information about the different packages. I also host some group tutorials. I need to check in on the website right now. That occur in my home in Brooklyn, and that's a great informal way to kind of meet people and learn some techniques. So I've got some coming up. I'm not sure. I need to speak to my graphic designer about that. But we have some upcoming tutorials in March. There was a soup tutorial in April. I'm doing kind of like an eggs tutorial, all the different things you can do with eggs for brunch, whether it's poaching, doing an egg bake, making a quiche. And in May, I'm doing a Korean cooking tutorial. That's my ethnic background. My family's from Korea. So I'm going to be doing some Korean home recipes passed from my mother. And in the summer, it's really great because we have an outdoor terrace, so we do a grilling tutorial. And I think the basics of using a charcoal grill, which can be very intimidating for some people, and doing some great dishes outside. So that's a lot of fun. So aside from my website, I have a Facebook page, facebook.com/tutorialtotable, on Instagram as well, Tutorial to Table, TutorialTotable. And I have claimed real estate on some other social media outlets on Twitter, but I'm not as active on them yet. So I would say that my main go-tos are Facebook and Instagram. And if you go to my website, you'll be prompted to sign up for my newsletter, where I give a lot of free tips and recipes about cooking and lifestyle, and you can learn about all the events that are going on that are coming up.
I love it. I love it. definitely keep me posted about the events that you're going to be having in your home. I want to share them with everyone.
Yes.
I probably want to bring a couple of friends with me so that we can come by and see what you do and have some fun and have some good meal, have a good meal.
Yes.
Now, I can't say that we already know what we're going to be cooking at Fit to Be Bright. You haven't told me yet. Maybe you're going to surprise me. I don't know. but I know I can't wait to try it. Based on our conversation tonight, it's going to be so yummy. And I've already had some. Kathy's quiches are yummy, yummy, yummy. And to be perfectly honest, I am not a big fan of quiches. But I like Kathy's quiches. They were very tasty. Very, very tasty. And I think I missed out on one of the. You had some sort of salad that I think had cranberry thing, beets or something in there that I know that I missed. And I said, the next time I see that, I'm digging in. But to my listeners, once again, if you're just tuning in, of course we only have 4 minutes left, but if you're just tuning in, we have been talking with culinary consultant Kathy Ha, who created Tutorial to Table to help individuals who would like to begin to cook at home and really change the way they spend money, change their health, change their socializing, because you can have friends over when you cook or even have Kathy over to show you how to prepare for a nice little dinner party at home. I love it. Kathy, I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight and telling us about what you do.
Thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure. And, you know, I'm so happy to do it.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be, you know, to be on the podcast and to also, you know, be a part of Bridal Tribe. You know, I'm also, you know, getting ready to get hitched myself. So I think that this is, you know, an ideal time as people are starting their families, thinking about what we talked about, you know, providing, nourishing. But another thing that we didn't talk about that I'd love to talk about another time is the teamwork, you know, for brides-to-be that are out there with the newlywed package that we're promoting. A lot of it is also about how do you work with your partner to meet both your palate and your lifestyle and your budget to have successful weeknight meals. You know, I consider my fiance and I to be, you know, partners. And so a lot of times when I'm coming home from somewhere, I'll text him at 14th Street. I'm like, okay, get the kale ready to steam and get this ready to saute. It's really a group effort here, you know. So part of the prep is knowing who are your partners and how can you make that something that works for you. So, I'm really excited to be talking with you tonight, Cynthia, about Tutorial to Table and just about all the things that, you know, Bridal Tribe, in terms of health and happiness and love and family, I think it's super important.
So true. And, of course, I want you to come back. Please, please, please come back and let's talk about it being in the kitchen with your partner. I think that's a very important conversation to have.
Absolutely.
Because I can see that being a lot of fun. You know,
mm-hmm.
some people with you know, I've seen some people do it and it was kind of disastrous, or some people just like, look, if my husband can cook, forget it. I'm not going in the kitchen. I'm going to let him do the cooking. But
right.
I think that it would be a lot of fun to see couples together, couples cooking, teamwork in the kitchen, making wonderful, wonderful culinary music together.
Yes.
And then sharing that meal. So, yes, please, I want to invite you back on. You just, you know, all you have to do is just let me know when you have time, when you want to do it, and we will get that done. All right?
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful. So once again, thank you for joining us tonight on Tribal Wisdom. Thank you for listening in to all of the tips that Kathy Hobb Tutorial to Table has given us. Please come out and meet her at our Fit to Be Bride Wellness Affair, where she will be putting on a short demonstration of everything that we talked about tonight, and come and taste some yummy vittles. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be a great time. You know, we are about love, beauty, wedding, and marriage fun as the Bridal Tribe magazine, but here at Relationship Resolutions and Getting Fired Up for Marriage, we want to just let you know that it's not just about love. It's about relationship, and we are here to guide you through that navigating, that wonderful journey through marriage and through your vows. We will see you next week as we continue with our Get Fired Up for Marriage series. You know what we do every fourth Wednesday, don't you? Are you ready for the ring with Tia Hill, the date whisperer? Join us next week for Are You Ready with the Ring? Ready for the ring, sorry. And we're going to be talking about what are you attracted to? We're going to talk about attractions next week. See you then. Join us every Monday and every Tuesday for our other shows. And we'll talk to you soon. Love you.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Tribal Wisdom. Stop by BridalTribe.com and visit our media page for full recaps of every show, amazing articles, and free downloads. We have an ever-growing library of knowledgeable guests with vital information for any stage of your relationship. At Tribal Wisdom, we are order and excellence in action, and we are devoted to love.